This is back in the days of Demure, remember?
Too far removed.
A fellow walks in and says, "I want an execution on this judgment," and the clerk says, "I'm not going to issue an execution on this judgment. We filed an application holding it. You can't support the trial judgment in this case." Court of Appeals says, "Contempt will lie. Didn't file an application for mandamus. Rather than file that, he filed a motion to hold him in contempt for failing to issue the execution." The court said that contempt will lie.
Isn't that really the nubbin of the legal problem that y'all have served us up, is trying to define what the duties of the clerk are? Yeah. There you have a rather clear-cut duty. That is, to get the
ministerial.
Here you've left us with a...
Is there anything left more
kind
than
of, you sure want to say the clerk ought to do this and probably has some duty to do it, but you don't have that clear cut.
Is there any question in the court's mind that it's a ministerial duty piping up an envelope, mailing out and say how is it, if the court has feelings, there's no duty on the court to do that, we're wasting our time. Because you can stop just anytime you want to by just saying, "I'm not going to do these day-to-day things." The clerk just says, "I'm not going to do that day-to-day thing."
How would you write the duty? You've looked at this case closely. Put the pen in your hand. What would you say if you were writing the opinion that said there was a duty here, it was a ministerial duty, therefore mandamus would lie?
The clerk has no discretion in performing the ministerial duties, and sending out a docket sheet informing the person of the same whose case is a ministerial duty. That's how I do it. But I would point out to the court that there's another case, Sparks case, that was cited by this other case. It's a 1900 case in which the sheriff was held in contempt just on a motion by the judge. Sheriff, in that case, filed against the sheriff for failure to advance expenses to a witness who signed the papers that day. That's Sparks versus State at 60 Southwest 246. I found some old cases in Iowa about Sire and Michigan, or Wisconsin, the place that I cited to you, and one of them is a case where in one instance, the bailiff would not open the door of the courtroom. He just didn't file mandamus against him. He just issued an order, and he didn't really have any contempt. The Wisconsin court said the court has inherent power to administer justice and do the things that are necessary to administer justice. Therefore, contempt will lie. The other case I cited up there dealt with simply writing a check on money that had already been appropriated to pay for the air conditioning system. The courtroom certainly decided that this particular judge didn't need air conditioning and wouldn't pay for the air conditioning system, and he was held to be rightfully held in contempt before he didn't have to file a written mandamus in order to be able to sign the check. Now, if their argument that in order to go about protecting your jurisdiction, try to run a court, you've got to file a mandamus every time the clerk decides that they don't want to do something. And a lot of their arguments in this case make sense. We can get into their arguments if that's the case. It's our position that you don't have to file an application, a formal writ, in order to require a clerk.
And you would base that on the fact that district judge has inherent power to order the clerk to perform what on the surface would appear to be a ministerial duty.
I can't visualize their argument saying that this person is not subject to orders of this court. The Supreme Court has no power to tell this clerk to do anything. And one of the general rules, Rule 21A, the Texas Rules of Civil Procedure, dealing with notice of trial, and says gives a way you can give notice of trial, writing letters and all this thing, or it may be given in such other manner as the court in its discretion may direct. Now those rules, to me, were made to apply to the district clerk, an officer of the court. And all officers of the court are bound to, are bound by the rules. This clerk says no. And he just told you no a moment ago. When he said, well, now this clerk might do that, but he wouldn't have to. The answer to the question was, assuming that all these things happened, would he have to do it? Is it a legal duty? He said, no, there's no legal duty. Now we're telling you to do it. But there's no legal duty on him to do it. We submit to you that there is a legal duty on him to do it as being an officer of the court.
Why wouldn't mandamus have been the cleaner way to Judge Street was wanted to straighten up the clerk?
Judge, can you imagine that if you had this occur, if you had to go through the formality of mandamus on everything that you require a clerk to do, make a phone call for me, sharpen the pencil, other things that
well, in fairness,
you drive me crazy.
In fairness, we're not talking about that.
We are.
It's a little broader than that.
Not really. This is mail a letter.
Well, all right, I won't argue with you, but there's something troubling to me about a judge, regardless of the circumstances, sort of judging the whole thing. Let's assume Judge Street was wrong for a moment. Let's get another case up. Let's get a judge who's done something that clearly is beyond what the judge has authority to order the clerk to do. Should you allow that judge to decide the matter?
No.
Put him in jail?
Absolutely not. That's what this court's here for.
Well, that's what happened in this case.
We're here on red habeas corpus.
Absolutely. But that's under the statute that allows him to punish for continuing contempt, coercive contempt, to keep the order from being obeyed on a daily basis. If this court, you're going to be deciding basically whether or not there's a duty on the part of this the clerk to obey an order, to mail out a docket set, that's part of the
Yeah, let me pick up on Justice Speer's concern. What if some of the other judges on the court in Tarrant County decide that they don't want mail dockets, they want the clerk to personally call all the lawyers who have cases pending that month? That's their way of wanting notice. Under Rule 21, you say that they're entitled to do that and the clerk has to follow that?
Yeah.
Doesn't that speak to our concern of having uniformity of rules so we can have the clerk and have one way of doing in a more cohesive manner rather than each judge going off on their own?
Right, and I think if the rules address this problem, then I think that in answer to somebody's question here before, I believe that the individual district judges attempt to change the rules would not be effective. I don't think it would be a lawful order.
Well, there are no rules here. Each judge apparently makes their own rules as they go on.
Well, as a matter of fact, there is no rule in connection with this. Right now, you are correct. There is no rule in connection with this matter.
Well, now, doesn't that get back to the question I asked you a while ago and you evaded?
I didn't mean it.
The administrative rule says in multi-court counties, the judges shall constitute a council of judges. They shall select a presiding judge of that council of judges and take action that way. Now, the Tarrant County judges have elected, so far as we know, not to do it, because it's also said they will send any local rules to us for approval before they become effective, and we haven't received any from them.
Right.
So, in effect, the Tarrant County judges have not followed the procedure set forth in this court's order.
Right.
And that gives rise to an individual judge then thinking it on himself to do what he thinks is right. And so we've got a little more involved here in just the inherent power of that judge to tell the clerk what to do, don't we?
I don't think so, Your Honor.
How can that individual judge ignore the order of this court that you quoted from they have refused or have failed or just haven't decided, taken the initiative to decide who their presiding judge is, or their administrative, their judicial council in Tarrant County. And to get any local rules and get together, this is the way we want the courts run. They haven't done that.
So, Your Honor, let me point. There are local rules, but you don't tell, you don't in your order anyplace tell the district judges to encompass this in your rules.
We say that if it is not in a local rule, the rules of civil procedure apply, period. There are no local rules. And you follow these rules right here if you hadn't promulgated any. They haven't promulgated any, so where in these rules here does it say that the individual judge can, let's take another fact situation. Let's say the judge, I'm so busy I've got to have two deputy clerks in my courtroom, period. Now, I need it, it's essential, in my opinion, to the administration of justice. Mr. District Clerk, I want two deputies assigned to me, period. Clerk says, we've got 14 courts, and I've got so many clerks, I don't have that many. Commissioner's Court doesn't give me the money to hire that many. So how am I going to give you two clerks because you say you need them? Is he going to be able to hold the clerk in contempt for not doing that?
No, I don't think that's, I do not believe that is a ministerial duty.
Well, if it's not a ministerial duty to assign the number of deputy clerks the judge wants, where is the line of demarcation between that and saying that, okay, instead of assigning so many clerks, I'm assigning this many duties, and you do that any way you want to, even though it takes two clerks to do it?
Right back to the point that you just brought up, Your Honor. When there's no local rules that affect the mailing out of documents, you go to Rule 21A, it deals with notice of trial set. In such other manner as the court in its discretion may direct. Now, if it's an abuse, and I think you can abuse discretion by saying, send me 11 clerks, or two clerks, if everybody else has got one. I don't think it is an abuse of the court's discretion to say, please mail out, just mail out a docket, just tell these folks when the case is set. I don't think that's an abuse of discretion in 21A. Because the court is correct. If it's not covered in the local rules, then individual courts have the right to go to the general rules, and the rule says that the notice will be given in such other manner as the court in its discretion may direct. I do not believe, I think you're called upon here, you would be called upon in the case that you pointed out. Two clerks. Everybody else has got to have
it. Well, I've been looking through the rules here under the clerk duty to see the duty of the clerk to mail those notices. Have you've done a lot more research on this particular point than I have, surely. Where in these rules of civil procedure does it require the clerk to mail those notices?
Yes.
Okay, and that we're getting a problem there down somewhat then. It says notice will be given in the way the court determines.
Right.
There's no particular duty on the clerk, specific duty on the clerk to mail, to give notice.
If I
understand what you just said.
Well, if you assume that the clerk is an officer of the court, then I think that rule that you're talking about, 21A, once the district judge says mail the order, mail the setting calendar, then I think the duty arises at that point. Because the rule says that it will be done in such other manner as the court may direct. And the court has directed that you mail a letter out and tell them it's sent.
Counselor, your time's about to run out, but I have a question about Tarrant County and Judge Street. None of the district judges in Tarrant County have court administrators?
No. They don't even have clerks that are with the court. The clerks are... another part of the bill, they're down in the district office.
However, this particular case turns out, I would like to echo something Judge Wallace has said, that this court went to a great deal of effort with all courts in this state working together to come up with a more cohesive plan of management of our courts. And part of that is is for the Tarrant County to have a council of presiding judges cooperate together to elect their own administrative judge there, to adopt local rules. And we would hope that they'd look again at what those procedures contemplate.
And I go back to call meeting all those folks. I don't think they'll believe me.
It's in there. It's all written out. And it's not, it wasn't just an exercise in frivolity by this court. And a lot of good, hard-working lawyers and judges working on trying to bring that together. And there's a lot of controversy about it, but still, that's what we finally decided to do. What we're trying to do and to say, leave everybody with this message, we want all public officials respected. We want them to perform their duties, and we want them to work together for the benefit of the people that put them there.
I understand that, and there's no question in my mind that that will be done. That will be done. The fact that it hasn't been done at this particular time may well be unfortunate, and I'm sure it will be done. And I don't say it's going to be done because we're here or not here. It will be done. I'm sure it will be done. And I'm sure there are a lot of multiple court counties in this state that haven't done it yet either. This,
are you dividing your time? All right, come on then, Mr. Wells. And thank you, Mr. McIntyre.
May it please the court, I only have 1 minute. I only ask for an opportunity to sum up. And let me say, I'm on our local rules committee, Judge George Crowley has been elected as the presiding judge. We have been functioning since February, since the order. We have a meeting on November 30th to firm up our local rules, and this will be a part of that.
That's good to hear.
Done, and they have, the committee has been working since that time.
Good.
In answer to Mr. Justice Gonzalez's question on the order did merely say that the court requires the trial dockets of the 352nd District Court to mail each month to the attorneys involved in the cases thereof and other attorneys who request. So that you'll understand what the Tarrant County situation is, we send out a docket monthly, which includes all the cases set in any court, district court, including the DR court and criminal court and the civil district court. This order merely said, when they discontinued sending that out, this order merely said, for my court, send out to the lawyers involved in cases set in my court for next month, letters to them notifying them of their stay. And that's all that the order entailed. Merely the cases set in his court, nothing to do with any cases in any other court. That's the order that we're here on today. And quite frankly, it seems to me that it does come down to one of the contentions that they have is that it should be done by mandamus and not by contempt. It seems to us that these remedies are not mutually exclusive, and I think that there's no law to the contrary. The question of whether or not it was a discretionary ministerial duty, whether or not he actually had a duty, has been discussed fully, but we certainly understand your questions in that regard. We feel in this instance that the order was for the orderly administration of justice and was required for it, as set out in your rule that you promulgated, in which you said a district judge shall use mail and in scheduling and setting trial dates. And the reason there was no local rule until this time is because the tradition had been so established that quite frankly we've had no problems with it, and nobody had had any argument with it. The clerk had been sending them out regularly, and until this happened, we really did not feel that there was any more of a local.
Thank you, counsel. You may reply.
Mr. Acuff, did your client tell this district judge to go jump in the lake? And he wasn't going to perform this duty?
I'm sorry, sir, can you repeat the question?
Did your client tell this particular judge to go jump in the lake?
The allegation was that he said that to the deputy clerk up in the district clerk's office, not directly to the district judge.
Did he say it?
My understanding, yes, that he...
You countenance that?
No, Your Honor.
Would contempt lie for that remark?
Well, Your Honor, since it was not said to the judge and it was said in an offhand manner to
even if it's indirect, not in the presence of the court, then the show cause be set down.
Well, I think show cause could be set down, but whether it was meant in an intentional manner or whether it was the type of offhand slang comment that was often used, I think it remains open to question.
So we can just tell district judges whatever we want as long as we keep it in slang nature.
No, sir, I didn't mean to imply that.
Well, what did you mean to imply?
Your Honor, I think to some extent if something is taken out of context and said in an offhand manner, even though taken out of context it might appear contemptuous, the comment might not in fact have been intended as disrespectful or disruptive to the honor of the court.
Jay Cuffley, you discussed the point that the order was not sufficiently specific to serve as a basis for a contempt.
Yes, Your Honor, I would like to get into the nature of Judge Street's order because I think there is some confusion about that. Basically, the order ordered the district clerk to mail out the docket settings not only to the attorneys that had cases pending before the court or were to have cases pending in the future before the court, but it also ordered the clerk to mail out the dockets to any other attorneys who requested a copy. Now, our argument that the order was not sufficiently specific to support contempt because of the ambiguity contained in the order. For example, what would in fact constitute a request by an attorney to be mailed out the docket? Would it have to be in writing? Would it have to be verbal? Would a request to a deputy clerk suffice? Would a request by an attorney that he be mailed a copy of the docket be good for 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, or would it require the district clerk to mail that docket to that attorney on an indefinite basis? None of these things were spelled out in the order. And under the line of ex parte Glover and ex parte Slayton, we think it's clear that the order was not sufficiently concise in terms of what it support contempt. While we're on that subject, Rule 246 of the Rule of Civil Procedure requires that a district clerk mail to an out-of-county attorney a copy of any trial setting, provided that out-of-county attorney sends a written request to the district clerk, and provided further that that out-of-county attorney furnish a self-addressed stamped envelope. That's what Rule 246 of Rule of Civil Procedure requires the district clerk. If Judge Street's order could be interpreted to mean that an out-of-county attorney could request that the docket be mailed, and if it can be interpreted to mean that that docket would have to be mailed free of charge, then in fact, Judge Street's order would be ordering the district clerk to violate the mandate of Rule 246. And clearly, I think that could put the district clerk in some jeopardy. If I could, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the nature of Judge Street's order. Clearly, it was not a notice requirement. The order never mentioned notice, didn't refer to notice. The order didn't even require that the docket be mailed to any pro se litigant. Didn't even mention pro se litigant. It's been a standing practice in Tarrant County for a number of years, which started under MOLUC rules, that attorneys are required in order to get a case set that they mail a copy, a certified copy, to the clerk requesting a setting on a particular week. And it's further been required that the copy of that letter go to all other attorneys' record in the case. That particular method of notification was recognized as sufficient notice by this court in 1978 in the case of Mansfield State Bank versus Holmes. That method of notification is still in effect in Tarrant County, and all of the other courts are, the other district courts in Tarrant County are getting along just fine with that procedure without the requirement that these docket sheets be mailed out. Judge Street, in effect, couched his order as being for the purposes of promoting the orderly and prompt administration of justice. And we get back to this question of, did Judge Street have the authority or jurisdiction to issue this type of an order for the orderly and prompt administration of justice? Now, no one denies that the district court judge has certain inherent powers, and a district court judge must have inherent powers in order to enforce the dignity and jurisdiction of the court. But I think it's clear that under the case law that's been developed in this state, there have been certain recognized limitations on the inherent powers of the court. In Commissioner Court of Dallas versus Williams, the Eastland Court of Appeals in 1982 quoted with approval an Indiana case. They say that the judges should be constantly aware that their constitutional responsibility to maintain the judicial system carries with it the corresponding responsibility to limit their requests to those things reasonably necessary in the operation of their courts and to refrain from any extravagant, arbitrary, or unwarranted expenditures. Again, in the case of District Judges versus Gregg County, the Texarkana Court clearly held that district judges had inherent powers to require them with certain staff benefits and facilities necessary to the orderly administration of justice. That was the mandamus case that was brought. The Texarkana Court of Appeals, and that was a mandamus case, but the Texarkana Court of Appeals held it was clearly incumbent upon those district judges to show the need for what they were asking for by presenting some evidence. That court said, while the administrative finding of courts concerning their own needs must be given proper weight and deference, there are important reasons why they should not be accepted as valid until they have been established by the fact-finding process. There is a need to clearly demonstrate to the public that the judiciary is acting fairly and without bias in matters of court funding, because any departure from the separation of powers mandated by the Constitution is so drastic, such a step should be taken only on the basis of a detached and objective finding of essentiality. In this case, the judges failed to establish the required essentiality. Absent such proof, there was no basis for the exercise of inherent power.
When the counsel, Judge Street, in all fairness, was not asking for any more funding for the judiciary in this case, was he?
Well, Your Honor, the action he was requesting would have clearly cost the district clerk money out of the
sure. Anytime the clerk performs a duty, there has to be a cost associated with it. But the cases that you're citing were cases in which the judges were trying to get more money for the courts, were they not?
Well, are they requesting certain staff benefits or a certain facility? We think the holdings are still consistent that there needs to be some showing that that's necessary, in effect, for the operation of the courts.
Was there any showing here how costly it would be to send these notices out?
Judge Street did not testify. He read into the record what he personally apparently had been spending for the last month to mail some of these out personally.
Was there any evidence as to whether other judges in Tarrant County desired this also, this mailing out of theirs?
It's not in the record, Your Honor, but clearly some of the other judges have decided it's not required.
Is any evidence what the Bar Association thought about this practice? Whether they wanted it continued or discontinued?
There was no evidence in the record, no, Your Honor.
Would it still be too much to hope, even at this late hour, that there'll be a meeting convened in Tarrant County with all the judges so a resolution can be forthcoming as to what they desire? Sit down with the clerk and work something out. If it's desired, do it. Put it in your rules and get this matter resolved in the interest of the public.
No, Your Honor, I don't think that's too much to hope for.
We're going to deal with your case, and the decision will come down when the court's ready to hand it down. But if I ever saw a matter where we all, as officers of the court, should try to resolve this issue and not try to win a lawsuit, it's this one. And I would encourage everybody concerned to try to do that.
You might could render this case moot.
Your Honor, the district clerk takes the position that if the district judges as a whole get together under the direction of the administrative judge and want to adopt a local rule under the mandates of this court and the guidelines, the docket sheets fail to be mailed out, and he has no problem with mailing the docket sheets out.
Well, maybe we'll hear from you. Anything further?
Your Honor, I'd just like to clarify one thing, and that is in the administrative rules that this court issued, there's been some banding about here that this court mandated that, in effect, district judges use mail. Rule, I believe they're referring to Rule 784B, and the language there is the use of telephone or mail in lieu of personal appearance by attorney for motion hearings, pretrial conferences, scheduling, and the setting of the trial date. So the reference to phone and mail is specifically for the avoidance of personal appearance by attorney. And in this situation, whether the trial dockets were mailed out or not, does not impinge upon personal appearance by attorney. Certainly the requirement that Judge Street had of mailing out the trial dockets to attorneys who merely requested, but did not have any case pending before the court, would have nothing to do with personal appearance. And I agree with the comments that have been made earlier, but certainly under these rules that the court has promulgated in the multi-court county, this court has in essence dictated that the district judges as a whole get together under the administrative judge and pass rules, and the individual district judges then consistently apply those rules. And I think that in fact would go a long way toward solving the problem. We would suggest that if the individual district judges are allowed to issue orders such as this in multi-court county, then in effect what we're going to have is chaos and not the efficient and prompt administration of justice. I'd like to say one other thing finally, and that is my distinguished colleagues representing Judge John Street have indicated that really mandamus shouldn't have been the appropriate action because that's really too much trouble. It's too much of a burden. The district judge shouldn't have to go through with that. The problem with that, I think that argument is very close to saying, in short, due process is really too much trouble. Indeed, it would be, in fact, easier, I guess it was easier in the old days, to throw a rope over a limb, but we are a nation of laws, we are a nation of due process, and especially where we have a conflict between two elected officials, it would seem that the appropriate due process should have taken place and should be ordered to take place, such that we have ongoing confidence in our system. Thank you.
I thank all counsel. We're going to take a short break.